Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon?
From Rags to Riches.
Listen especially to St. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I especially invite you this morning to turn in your worship folder to your sermon outline and follow our outline as we consider our theme, From Rags to Riches. Rags to riches, it's a common expression in the English language. Rags to riches usually means that a person started off in their lives poor and in need, but has ended up wealthy and successful. And would you agree, as the children told us and Matthias told us this morning, that most of us would like to go from rags to riches? We're greatly inspired by the story of people who began poor, but worked hard, strove to get ahead, never lost sight of their goal, ended up wealthy and successful. Rags to riches. It's the dream of so many people. Maybe it's your dream. But in the case of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, he did just the opposite. He went from riches to rags. Jesus went from being king over the entire universe to a beggar who didn't have a place even to lay down his own head. He gave up the glory and the honor and the majesty of heaven to be born in a humble animal stall in a manger in Bethlehem, and to give his life on a rugged cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem, by the garbage dump. St. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Hear it again. Though Jesus was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Why? Why would Jesus allow himself to go from riches to rags? A simple story I came across in the news illustrates the why. Anne and her family were just about ready to cross the Mackinac Bridge in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan when a storm hit with such high winds and hurricane-force gales that they had to close the bridge. Now, this is one of the longest suspension bridges in all of North America. When the bridge was opened, a long line of cars queued up to cross the bridge. When Anne and her family finally got to the toll booth to pay the toll, the person at the booth said, "You don't have to pay your toll, ma'am. The guy in front of you paid the toll for you." And as they watched the lights of the minivan in front of them fade off into the distance, they knew they had no chance of catching up to him and thanking the driver for his generous act. In the same way, the driver ahead of us, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, paid the toll for our entrance into heaven. And the payment he made was his shed blood on Calvary's cross. Listen again to what St. Paul said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." And Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter 1. "For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, in whom we have been given redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." And Paul goes on to say, "For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile us to himself, to all things, whether on earth or heaven, by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross." You see, this is why Jesus went from riches to rags, so that our sins might be paid for, so that we might be reconciled to a holy God, so we may be delivered from eternal darkness, so the Lord may say to you and me one day these words from Malachi chapter 3. You will be mine in the day when I make up my treasured possessions, says the Lord. And I will spare you as my treasured possessions, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. Oh, how blessed we are to be called God's treasured possession. Surely you are God's treasured possession. Stephen, you are God's treasured possession. Ilsa, you are God's treasured possession. And the greatest and grandest and most glorious of all riches have been given to us. The rags of our sin have been exchanged for the riches of Christ's resurrection victory. And the words that Jesus spoke to that repentant thief hanging on the cross next to him, those same words are applicable to you and me today when Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." One day, as we close our eyes in death, our Savior will say to us, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Now, as you may be aware, I hope you're aware, that this month our Sunday sermons and services have focused on our Christian calling of being God's stewards. And every Sunday, as it was today, we had one different person, four in a row people, give their Christian testimony of faith. This is our fourth and final sermon on this theme. Each sermon in a different way has reminded us that it's our joy and our privilege to give our offerings to our Lord in saying thank you for all that He has done for us on the rugged cross of Calvary. It's our privilege and joy to return to our Lord a portion of some of our material wealth that He's been given us. Now, I hope you're asking, you may be asking, I hope you are asking, what do our financial offerings at all have to do with our salvation? Today, what is the connection between our offerings and Jesus going from rags to riches? What do our earthly riches have to do at all with our heavenly riches? Well, I'm here to share with you today, I've never confessed this in a pulpit in my life. I'm here to share with you today a discovery I've made this week for the first time in my 35 years of ministry. I never saw this clear connection between salvation and offerings until I prepared today's sermon. Here it is, as recorded in 1 Corinthians 15 and 16. Listen carefully. Ian just read it. Paul writes, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain." I can't tell you how many times I have read and preached those words at funerals and Easter Sundays over all these years. But now, listen to the very next verses. Paul writes, "And now, about the collection of God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income." Paul makes an amazing and insightful connection between salvation and offerings. One could say in this text, Paul went from resurrection to collection. Yes. from resurrection to collection. Jesus has won for us the eternal victory over sin, death, and devil, and now we can respond in a very tangible way. We say thank you by giving our offerings that support the gospel ministry of the church that continues to get this message of salvation out to others. Paul says, there's nothing strange about it. From resurrection to collection. Jesus has saved us from the rags of our sin and death. And in exchange, he has given us the riches of his resurrection victory. Now it's our privilege to say thank you for bringing us from rags to riches. Listen again one more time to St. Paul's words. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. What are the riches we have in Christ? We are the ones who know his love and have come to love him. We are the ones who know the seriousness and the tragic results of a life lived apart from Christ. We are the ones who know the remedy to death and sin that Jesus Christ is. And for those reasons, we want to support the work of providing this remedy to a dying world. Now, let me ask you a very pointed question. I hope you're listening. If Christians don't financially support the Lord's work and actually do that work, who will? Will the Buddhist? The Hindu? The Muslim? The Mormon? The Jehovah's Witness? The atheist? No way! Now, these people may support cancer research. They may support the local animal shelter or some other worthy cause, and that's great. But they will not support Christian missionary efforts or the work of a Christian congregation. That responsibility the Lord gives to us. Someone has once said this. Listen to this quote. It really got my attention when I came across it this past week. He said, our faith becomes real and practical when it's expressed in two books, our date book and our check book. That is, and how we use our time and how we use our treasures. Today is Reformation Sunday. A Sunday when we remember 500 years ago, a pastor named Martin Luther began a movement to reform the church of his day. To get the church back to being faithful to the pure and sweet gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, many of you here today know something about the Reformation. But did you know that the Reformation actually began because of a money issue? Yes, it did. Because there was a terrible thing going on in the church of Luther's day. It had to do with something called indulgences. An indulgence was a piece of paper or a certificate that was sold to people, sold to poor, ignorant people. They were told that by paying for this indulgence, they could pay for the forgiveness of their sins and escape the terrors of hell. Amazing. Terrible. And by the way, what was done with the money collected for the sale of these indulgences? It was used to line the pockets of corrupt church officials and to build big buildings. Just terrible. Now, such an activity not only robbed poor people, it also turned those people away from trusting Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. and made them think they had to earn or pay for their salvation. And Pastor Luther was so angry at the church leaders of his day, so very angry, that he began the Reformation to reform the church and lead the people back to simple, trusting faith in Jesus. The church was changed. The Reformation spread all over the world. Many people, as a result, put their faith in Jesus Christ. And our church today came from this Reformation, all because of a money issue. You see, there is a connection between the resurrection and the collection. But our collection or offering is only and always a way to thank Jesus for the salvation he's already given us. It's never given to earn his love. We who have lived in the rags of sin and the rags of death have been given the riches of Jesus' forgiveness and salvation. On the cross, our Lord Jesus went from riches to rags, so that we might go from rags to riches. Heaven's prince became a pauper for us. A pauper is a word that's not used very much anymore in the English language. A pauper is an old English word for a poor person. And the famous American author Mark Twain wrote a book entitled The Prince and the Pauper. Very briefly, this wonderful story is about a rich and powerful prince. In his kingdom, this prince found a poor man, a pauper, who looked just like him. This pauper could have been the prince's twin brother. The young prince traded places with this pauper. He gave up his riches for the rags of the pauper. He lived in his house. He felt his hunger. He suffered his troubles. And this helped this prince to better love and understand the poor people of his kingdom. And soon after, this made this prince a better king. Then with joy, he gave this pauper riches and honors and treasures. This pauper indeed went from rags to riches, because his king went from riches to rags. And for the rest of his life, this pauper used his riches to care for others and to thank the king for what he'd done. My friends, I'm not sure if Mark Twain even meant it when he wrote this book, but what a wonderful picture of what our Prince Jesus did for us. And what a wonderful picture of what we can do with our earthly treasures. What a wonderful opportunity we have to continue the gospel work of the Reformation. What a wonderful and ongoing connection there is between the resurrection and the collection. And all because our dear Lord Jesus has gone from riches to rags for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.